It's not easy, right? I mean, the people who come behind the pulpit, what a responsibility they have down there. And what we preach here, the word that we bring here, is the word that is at work in my heart. I go back way long, long time ago, 1992. Well, what happens back home is the moment I tell them the year, they begin to calculate my age. Okay, I don't want you to do the same here, right? I was very young when God called me for full-time ministry. And I was pursuing, you know, what my son is doing today, cricket. Cricket, playing some professional cricket back there, playing for the college, playing for some state league matches. And that's the time God had a different plan for me. And it was difficult for me to accept God's plan. I'll be honest with you. Okay? When God called me, it didn't. So I said, okay, Lord, well, I am there. I'm so glad, Lord, that you called me. Here, Lord, here I am, Lord. But that's not me. That wasn't me. I told Lord, you got the wrong number. Lord, I think you didn't get it right, Lord. I am not a preacher kind of a person. I am a probably, you know, can sit back and do little things for you, Lord. Not the person up here. But the Lord has to say, you know, I will empower you. I will give you grace. And then the pastor then, I shared it with the pastor then. He said, I'll give you 1 month. 1 month for what? To preach. Are you kidding? I thought I need to go to a seminary for training. And then only then, you know, I begin to get into ministry. I said, yeah, seminary training is always there. But I'll give you a month. So then I had to, you know, really, I go back, 92. I looked at the Lord and said, Lord, what is this, Lord? This man is putting right, you know, behind the pulpit. And Lord, I know that you've called me. Church, 1992, sometime in April, I preached my first sermon. And I just knew in my heart, this is what the Lord wants me to do the rest of my life until He's coming, or I go home. And it is amazing way the Lord has brought me to Australia. Australia was never in my calendar. I wanted to do a doctoral program in UK, the British University. I met one of the theological person whom I got to know, and was well, you know, qualified in terms of knowing, you know, the theological college around the world. And I went to him for British University, and he's the one who proposed to me Melbourne. He's the one who proposed to me Australia and Melbourne. And very clear leading from the Lord of me coming here again. Like my calling, this was a very difficult decision that I had to make. Born in Bangalore, brought up in Bangalore, went for a training for a couple of years out of Bangalore, but not too far from Bangalore. Came back, God brought me back to Bangalore, the home church, and then we planted a church in a needy place, in a dark place where there was no churches, and pastoring the church, that church which we planted for, we planted around, God used us to plant the church around 2001, and 2022 December, and 21 December, and 2022 January, the last Sunday, the week we were traveling, was my last Sunday at BTM Bible Church. And I had to leave my mom behind, who I love, and she's 79. I was not in a position to leave her. Lord, she's 79, she needs me. Well, that's the dialogue that's going between me and God. And Lord, you know, my church family, Lord, I mean, who's going to take care of my church family? This is the church that, you know, but then the Lord had his plans. The Lord had his plans. Very clear leading from him to come to this place. And folks, I would never be part of this church, I'll be honest with you. And it's a mysterious way the Lord brought me here. Okay, it's a mysterious way the Lord brought me here. Sister Soria has been praying for me, and she shared something that really touched my heart in a conversation. I was preaching, I don't know if you know Brother Isaac, a good friend of mine, very nearby. Okay, very nearby. Brother Rajkumar Jaya knows the family well. Eddie also knows him well. And he said, you know, there's a church, you know, they don't have a pastor, they're looking for a pastor, can we go? I said, what are you talking about? I come, you know, to share the word at your church. No, it's just nearby, we can pop by, the time is still there. And that's how we popped in and met Brother Rajkumar. Read Brother Rajkumar and had a conversation with him. When we left India, I told my wife, God has a greater plan than my theological studies, because God knows that I am a ministry man. And I see God's plan. And I want to be part of His plan, no matter where I am. no matter where God takes me. Lord, you called me, Lord. Lord, I have given my heart and life to you, Lord. Lord, here I am, Lord. I don't know, Lord, how long I'm going to stay here. I look at the papers, and I have the papers and the visa tells me 2023 March, Lord. But I don't know if you're going to keep me here longer than that. And Lord, let your plans, let your purpose be accomplished as you have brought me here. That's my prayer, folks. Appreciate your prayers. All right? My wife and my daughter had to join me. We are hoping that they'll join us very soon. That's my son and my nephew who sang for us this morning. The text this morning is Mark 15. I want to focus on verse 22 to 24. But I want to, you know, really, the time is limited this morning. So we want to, let me see if we can go through those verses, okay, if we can go through those verses, but we want to focus on verse 24. During the American Civil War, this is something that truly happened in history. There was a young farmer. An informer, he had lost his wife and he had two dependent children. And he was drafted into the army, the American Civil Army in New York. And as he was drafted into the army, he had two young ones to take care. But then, one of the person in the town, probably his neighbor, saw the dilemma that he was in. He stepped forward. And that young man was an independent man, and he didn't have anybody, you know, who were dependent on him. So he came to this farmer. I like this man's heart. All right, I like this man's heart. He saw the dilemma that the farmer was going through, and he came to the farmer and he said, "I will take your place. You don't need to go to the army because you have little young ones to take care of. I think you should take care of the little young ones. I don't have anything to take care of. Okay, so I will go in your place." And the farmer probably was taken back. And definitely, yes, he had to stay back for his, you know, young kids. And is he obliged? He says, "I'm so thankful that you're taking my place." And so this young man
went to the war. Right in the first encounter, he was killed. True incident. The farmer gets to hear that this man was killed. His heart was broken. Probably tears filled his eyes. He went right into the battlefield, brought his body, buried it in the graveyard of the church. With the tear-filled eyes, with the heart broken, he put this epitaph on the tombstone with the bold letters, capital letters. He wrote this down: "E died for me." He died for me. On this Good Friday, it is a Good Friday. And we tend to, we usually tend to moan, right? Oh my goodness, look at him and look at what he's going through, folks. I want to straighten out a few things this morning from the Word. Alright? From the Word. There's always an emphasis, I'm sure it's not here, there's always an emphasis back in India, in some of the churches, of the suffering of Christ. Of the suffering of Christ, rather than why he did what he did, why he suffered. And I look at the scriptures and see that the emphasis must be, yeah, there is a suffering of Christ. We will not take away that. Okay, we look into the sufferings of Christ, but when we look at the sufferings of Christ, we should major on why he suffered. There is an emphasis laid in the scriptures, why he suffered. And just like this farmer said, he said to this man, "He died for me." We can say this morning on a Good Friday service, being a children of God, being experienced the forgiveness of God, being experienced the love of God, being experienced the redemption of God, being experienced, the chains that was broken, we can say, "He died for me. He died for me. He died for my sins." You look at Isaiah 53:12. That's the emphasis. Why he died. Not the way he died. Don't major on the way he died. Yeah, the way he died is there. But we major on why he died. Why he died. Isaiah 53:12 says what? It says, "He poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sins of many." You see that? Why he did what he did? That's the purpose he came. That's the purpose he was born in a manger. And the baby that was born in a manger was born to die. He came to die. He put on flesh for the cross. Otherwise, there was no need for him to come. There was no Emmanuel. There is no God with us. God was with us for this day in history. He came for you. He came for you. I am supposed to take that place because I am a sinful one. I deserve. He doesn't deserve. I deserve. Those criminals, right there, they deserve. And the justice of the government was done for them. They deserve, but not Jesus Christ. He is a sinless Lamb of God. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He is a sinless one. He took all my sin. It was not for the justice of the world like the criminals that he died. It was for the justice of God. It was the justice of God. Pilate, right? What did Pilate say? I don't see anything wrong in this man. Pilate, Gentile. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, could not see him. The disciples saw him. There were many people who saw him. He is the Messiah. He is Emmanuel. He is God the Son. He is God in flesh. Isaiah comes so very clearly. He bore the sins of many. And go back a bit, verse 4. Surely, he says, he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. He was pierced. Yes, he was pierced. He went through having quite a time physically. He went through quite a time for our transgressions. For our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. For our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace. Lord, Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord. Lord, I'm going through, you know, there's a storm that I'm going through, Lord, in the life. But Lord, in the midst of storm, Lord, there is that inner tranquility in my soul. There is that peace in my soul. Is that you? Is that me? That's because of him. That's because of that Good Friday. The peace that passeth all understanding. The peace that the world cannot never give you. Right? What is peace for the world? Peace for the world is absence of trouble, absence of war. No, not for us. Not for us. For us, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of hardship, there is that peace within. The peace within only God can give. And only because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, we have that peace. And by his wounds we were healed. I mean, we tend to take this physical, right? But I don't think this physical. This is soul. My soul is bruised with sin. My soul is damned to hell. My soul is dead in trespasses. That soul was healed. He made me whole. He made me new. He gave me a new appetite. Right? He gave me a new appetite. He gave me a new desire. I didn't have that. I didn't have that. I grew up in a Christian background. My grandfather, he was from a Catholic background. And he came to know the Lord through one of the missionaries then. And a great Christian heritage. But it took me 18 years. And I sometimes, you know, 18 years, I look at the Lord, Lord, why did it take so long, Lord, for me to get to know you in a personal way? My mom prayed for me. My mom took me around to the church. But you know, I had a great reason not to go to the church because there was cricket matches on Sunday. My mom took to the crusades, hoping that I'll be saved, hoping that God will change me. I mean, I was not a, you know, the so-called bad boy. You know, I was, you know, when people looked at me and said, yeah, he's a nice man, nice boy. But I myself knew what all I did, God knew. Heal me. I experienced the healing of my soul that was dead in trespasses.
Verse 6 says of Isaiah 53,
we all, there is nobody, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned in his own way, and the Lord has laid on him. That is why it is Good Friday for me, because my sins were laid upon him. He is the only one, because he is the only sinless one. Right? No other way. No other way, I'm sorry. No other way. Let's try to use logic, okay? Let's try to use logic. If something is dirty, would you take something dirty to clean the dirt? No. You need something clean. You need something that has no blemish, right? To clean. Here is the Lamb of God on a Calvary tree. On a Calvary tree. I can take you to many scriptures. We know it. We know it. An old Russian woman. A believer was at the feet of Jesus, probably a statue or a photograph, picture, and she was at the feet of Jesus kissing the nail-pierced legs, and as he was kissing the leg, a Russian soldier came in. He said, in German, Babushka means grandmother. Babushka, are you willing to kiss the feet of Stalin? And this Babushka, to the voice, he said, well, if Stalin can be crucified for me, I will kiss his feet. Jesus. Nobody killed him. He came for that sole purpose. Now, what I want to do is take you to Romans. Let's turn to Romans 6. In conclusion, well, when I say conclusion, don't take me wrong that I'll finish in a minute or two, but I'm close there, okay? I will not take too long. I'm close there. One, what we saw was on the cross, he was crucified. Sorry. He was crucified for me. Now, this is very important. Romans 6, 6 to 11. On the cross, I am crucified with him. On the cross, I am crucified with him. Romans 6, 6 to 11. For we know that our whole selves was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. That's a Christian. That's a soul. That's the person who's been crucified with Christ. It's not just Christ crucified for us. Yes, Christ crucified for us so that I can have life. Okay? And that life that I have, I crucify that old self in me, okay? I crucify that life so that sin has no dominion over me. I am no slave to sin. I have victory over sin. And verse 7 says what? Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. You're freed from sin. Sin is taken care. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I always say this. I just wish I didn't have this body, right? Because this body is still unredeemed. My soul is redeemed, but not this body. The sinful nature is still there. I can still sin. I can still be entangled in sin. And the scripture says, count yourself dead to sin. Okay? What does that mean? What does that mean? You know, here it is. When temptations comes by, for the temptation to entice you, to draw you into sin, to entangle you into sin, and definitely sin gives you pleasure. We know that, and there's temptation, and there's body. You know, there's always a temptation. We tend to yield. We tend to yield. When the person is crucified, it's like, I'm dead. I just don't feel. I just, that's how I live. To sin. That's how I consider myself dead to sin. When temptations comes by, when I'm drawn, and that's the time, definitely the grace of God comes by, definitely we lean on God, and again, we're empowered by God, we're enabled by God to do what God wants us to do, to live by His word, but we consider ourselves with all the grace, with all the strength, dead to sin. A life that has been crucified with Christ. 6:14 says, the world is crucified to me. The world has been crucified to me. Folks, we're in the world. There's many times we tend to lean towards the system of this world, which is against God. Peer pressure, and sometimes, it doesn't matter which pressure it is, you know, the worldly people will live in the system of the world, okay? We tend to, but the world has to know, that I am crucified to the system that is against God. The world has to know that, yeah, here is the person. I mean, this is how they would respond naturally, but here is the person who's not doing that. Something different, something unnatural. This is natural. This is unnatural. It is just not unnatural for us. I know that is supernatural. We were driving in India. As I was driving in India, it was raining. Right? It was raining, and the water was splashing everywhere, and the visibility was very limited. But we were somehow managing. And I just realized that I went into a bit of ditch, and the water, from the road, it splashed. And I just wondered, did it splash anybody? But it looked like, it didn't splash anybody. So I felt okay, and I was driving by, but I didn't realize it splashed from a two-wheeler was behind me. And he was honking at speed. I was wondering why this man is honking and coming at that speed. And he came right in front of me. He stopped his vehicle. He blocked me. I said, what's happening? And then he came to me and said, couldn't you see? What are you doing? I said, what did I do? You splashed water. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I didn't, you know the visibility, and honestly, I didn't see you. And he went on, what are you going to say? Don't you have eyes? Don't you have this? Don't you have this? And he was actually testing my patience. He went on and on, despite me saying sorry. He went on and on and on and on. And the person behind me was getting, she thought, probably, I'm a pastor, so I wouldn't probably raise my voice. And she wanted to, I said, no, hold on, hang on. And I looked at him and said, I really didn't see you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll tell you this happened. You see how the Spirit of God is at work, even in the unbelievers. And this man, I saw his face. This man didn't expect that kind of a response. And also some poor people in the car expected me to get out of the car and show my little muscles properly. Don't think I'm. That's not us, right? It's the grace of God. It's not me. It's the grace of God that is at work. I still remember sometimes, I've been upset, I've raised my voice. But that's the time. It was totally the grace of God. And God enabled me to remain calm. Remain calm. Remain calm. That's us, folks. That's how a Christian responds. Christian responds. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. Okay, Paul is very clear and very firm, very strong. He says, I have been crucified. Okay, and he always goes back, right, on the day of salvation, when that happened, I have been crucified. He was crucified with me. I have been crucified with him. My whole self is gone. My whole self is crucified with him. It's not gone yet, okay, but it's crucified with him. And I daily, right, I take up my cross daily. And he says what? It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in flesh, I live in this body, I live in flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Somebody said this. They said, Christ died to save us from hell, but not to save us from the cross. He died that we could be glorified. Yes, we are. We will be. But not to keep us from being crucified. For the Christian, the cross of Christ is not merely a past place of substitution. It's also a present place of daily execution. And that's where Luke 9:23 says, Jesus said, and he said to them, all, if any man will come after me, you are my follower. Every Christian is a follower. A man will come after me, let him deny himself. Lord, I want to do this, Lord. Lord, I love to do this, Lord. But Lord, no. But Lord, what you want me to do, Lord? You deny yourself. You deny yourself. And take up the cross for standing for the principles of God, principles of His Word, for following the shepherd of our soul who was crucified for me. We are His followers and we live for Him. We live for His glory. We live by His Word and we want to follow Him every day, daily. And as we do that, there could be people mocking at you. There could be people doing all sorts of things at you. They may shame you. They may shame you for the principles that you're living for. Is it funny? Come on. They may ridicule
you take up that shame, you take up that ridicule. And it says what? Daily. Daily. Every day of my life, I am following Him. I'm following Him. That's my prayer, folks. Even as I bring this word, that's my prayer. He was crucified for me. He suffered for me, for my sins. He suffered for my sins. The magnitude of sufferings only shows the magnitude of love that he has for me. And I am crucified with him. Are you crucified with him? On a Good Friday morning, as we are seated together, as the children of God have come together, to remember, to commemorate what Jesus has done for us. Ask ourselves a question. Am I crucified? Every bit, not a major, not 90%. No, I'm sorry, it's all. It's 100% in totality, Lord. And it's not just yesterday, day before, one week back, it's today, tomorrow, day after, daily. I get up in the morning, Lord, I crucify myself, Lord. I crucify myself to you. Be glorified, O God. Let somebody, Lord, whom I come across today, know that I belong to you. Know that my whole self has been crucified with you. God bless you. Shall we pray together? Father, I want to thank you this morning, the Good Friday morning, Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the death that you died. Thank you, O sinless Lamb of God. You took all the sins of the world upon yourself. And Lord, thank you for the life that you have given. And Lord, we pray that each day passes by, Lord, that people would see what you have done on Calvary Tree for me in my life. Be glorified, Lord, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.